The message tonight really is one thought. One thought laid out by much Scripture. And so tonight it's going to be a whole lot of Scripture. For that reason, we will not put the Scripture on the screen. Otherwise, we would go verse after verse after verse after verse. All right? Tonight, I'm probably not even going to give the references for much of the Scripture I quote. But we're going to take about 80% of what's to come, and it's just going to be the pure Word of God. And tonight our prayer is this, is that we would open our heart to God's Word. After all, God's Word is that which is profitable. That which is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction of righteousness. That which is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of sunder of soul and spirit. It's God's Word which is the lamp unto our feet and the light unto our path. It is God's Word that is that water whereby a young man may cleanse his way. It's God's Word. And so tonight, let's come together as God's people to God's Word. From the very beginning, sin called separation. The Bible tells us, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. And in sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. And in the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it thou wast taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. And the Lord God said, behold, man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. Now lest he put forth his hand, and also take of the tree of life, and eat it, and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. And so he drove out the man and placed him at the east of the Garden of Eden, and cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every which way to keep the way of the tree of life. And so it began. Man was called out from the garden because of sin. And so generation after generation, sin caused further separation due to its effects. By the time we get to Genesis 6, we see that God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Now, because of sin, God would call out men in an effort to save humanity from destruction. And so in God's redemptive plan, he said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowl of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the sight of the Lord. And so the world was saved in that moment. But the larger issue of sin still loomed. Because of sin, God would then call out a people in his plan to provide one who would crush the head of the serpent and who would remove the curse of sin forever. And the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, the Lord said, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And so Abraham and his family were called out. In God's plan to deal with sin, they were called out. And this family wandered and struggled. This family eventually ended up in captivity in Egypt. And so again, because of sin, God would call out men to protect His people. God would call out men to lead His people into the fullness of His promises, to teach them His ways. We find over in the book of Exodus that now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came into the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to get them up out of that land. Unto a land, a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. So under Moses, we see God's people were called out of Egypt and were called out of captivity. Under Joshua, then, God's people were led out of the wilderness and to the promised land. But in that time, the children of Israel were warned that if they did not heed the Lord, and if they did not heed His law, that they would be taken out of that land and back to captivity. The Bible says, When thou shalt beget children and children's children, and ye shall have remained long in the land and shall corrupt yourselves, and make a graven image or the likeness of anything, and shall do evil in the sight of the Lord thy God to provoke him to heaven. He said, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day, that ye shall soon utterly perish from the land whereunto ye go over Jordan to possess it. And ye shall not prolong your days upon it, but shall utterly be destroyed. And the Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and ye shall be left few in number among the heathen, whither the Lord shall lead you. And sadly, if you know Old Testament account, you know that that is exactly what happened. The 10 tribes of the northern kingdom were taken out of the land and scattered, considered lost tribes even to this day. The 2 southern tribes were taken into captivity into the land of Babylon. And sadly, we see that the Old Testament, which began with a curse due to sin, ends with a curse as well. The Lord said in Malachi 4, Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. And that's how the Old Testament ends, with the word curse. Sin from the beginning has separated. It separated man from God and God's blessings in the garden. Because of sin, God called out men to serve in His redemptive plan. But sin ultimately had to be dealt with. Amen? It had to be. It just had to be. And so it would be. But not without great cost. You know, the Bible tells me that because of my sin, Jesus came out from heaven. That who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. And took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Because of my sin. That because of my sin, Jesus lived a life on the outside, rejected by the very people He came to save. Oh, we know that He came into His own and His own received Him not. That He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised and we esteemed Him not. Jesus Himself said that foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay His head. Because of my sin, He came out from heaven. Because of my sin, He lived a life on the outside, rejected by those He came to save. Because of my sin, Jesus was led out of the city and hung on a cross. Wherefore Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered without the gate. And as many were stoned at thee, His visage was so marred more than any man, and His form more than the sons of man. Because the Bible says that when they had stripped Him, they put on Him a scarlet robe. When they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon His head, and a reed in His right hand, and they bowed the knee before Him and mocked Him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they spit upon Him. And they took the reed and they smote Him on the head. And after they had mocked Him, they took the robe from off of Him and put on His own raiment on Him and led Him away to crucify Him. And when they were come into a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they crucified Him and parted His garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. Because of my sin. Because of my sin, Jesus was separated from the Father. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Because of sin. Because of our sin. Because of my sin. He came out from heaven. Lived a life outside, rejected by those He came to save. Was led outside of the city to be crucified. Was separated from the Father. Yet, because Jesus is God, He came out of that grave. And be it known unto you and to all the people of Israel by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead. Even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. And this is the stone which the builder set at naught, and which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given among under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. The Bible tells us that he was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Now we cannot overlook tonight the pain and the separation caused by sin. We can't. But neither can we stop there. Because Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came out from heaven, lived rejected by men, was led out of the city and hung on a cross, was separated from the Father, but ultimately Jesus Christ came up out of the grave that he might bring me into his kingdom. He came out that we might come in. That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we also have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And ladies and gentlemen, this is what missions is all about. It is a recognition that Jesus came out from heaven that we might go in. And having come in, you and I have the great privilege now, get this, having come in, we have the great privilege to now reach out to those around us. Never has a Christian hesitated to accept the privilege to reach out when he understands the price that Jesus has paid out. And so we come to communion. It's what the Lord's table is all about. Remembering the price that Jesus paid. And I can think of no better way than to start Missions Conference Week than by gathering around the Lord's table to remember his body that was broken, and his blood that was spilled. But as we approach the Lord's table tonight, we must make sure that we do it the right way. We are warned in Scripture to approach the Lord's table with clean hands. Paul wrote this, "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink the cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." He goes on to say that for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. In other words, God takes very seriously that we come to His table in a right relationship with Him, with clean hands and a clean heart. Nothing that we know of between us and our God that we take time to examine ourselves and make sure we are where we ought to be with our Savior. It means that we come with clean hands and a clean heart. It means that we come understanding the weight of what it is that we are remembering. We are celebrating, remembering, reflecting on the greatest sacrifice humanity has ever known. We are remembering and reflecting on what is the climax of human history: the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so tonight, as we have reflected on just how blessed we are, I wonder tonight if perhaps the Holy Spirit has touched your heart on an area maybe that you're not completely right with God or not yielded to Him. Again, the Bible admonishes us to examine ourselves. So tonight we're going to do just that. And church, I'm going to ask if we could that we would stand together. We're going to take some time right now. And here's what I admonish. Here's what I admonish you as pastor. I admonish you to find a place. To find a place. I'm going to be here at the altar. You might come to the altar to a pew or right there in your seat. But find a place. Those of you who can, I would even admonish you to kneel. You know what? That's just a good, humble position for us to come before our God. If you physically can, I understand that, and so does God. But I would admonish you, if you can, to kneel and examine your heart tonight in light of God's Holy Scripture and in light of God's Holy Spirit. And let's make sure tonight that we approach the Lord's table in the right way. Father, we love You. Lord, I pray. May this time between us and our God be very real for each one of us individually. Father, I pray that You would meet with us. Bless this time of examination. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. As Mrs. Wyrick begins to play, I admonish you, let's take some time. Let's examine ourselves. Would you come?